action throw, looks, fires over the middle, caught, left front for touchdown, Welker.
And from all around the NFL.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek, guru, Brian Lowe.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to day one of the NFL season and week one of the Fantasy Lowdown right here on Patriots.com Radio. My name is Brian Lowe, excited to be back for a second season of the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. I'm a fantasy geek. We've been over that last year, and everyone understands. I got three leagues going this year, running wild, and excited to chat with you about the fantasy weekend ahead, and we'll do this every Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Of course, it's available on a podcast. It's replayed all over Patriots.com. So we hope you enjoy it. We hope you chime in. We hope we get your email addresses because, like I said last year and like I said in our preview show about a month ago, I like to have this show be email-driven. We want to hear from you. We want you to call in at 508-543-7482 or email in at webradio@patriots.com. with your questions on who to start, who to sit, your thoughts on guys who maybe have been disappointing to you this season, guys who are sleepers, whatever you want to talk about, items that are on your mind that are fantasy football related, we want to hear from you and we want to discuss them right here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Very excited. We got a bunch of emails already in the inbox that we're going to get to very soon. We also have a guest coming up in hopefully in just a few minutes, Chris Wessling of RotoWorld.com. RotoWorld.com does a great job getting you prepared for the week ahead. They have great rankings and really update in real time with all the news around the NFL that with a fantasy spin. So it'll be good to check in with Chris. And I know that he's right on the right on top of all the news, especially this week, and he'll join us in a little bit. I came across an extremely interesting fantasy football-related article that just, to me, was just so intriguing. I had to bring it up on the show. It has to do with fantasy football insurance. Really interesting. We're going to get to that as well. And just kind of go over some of the rankings for this coming week. We're going to talk about the fantasy league that I'm in, which is a brand new one through PFW in progress. The guys from PFW, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, all those guys have enjoyed it started last year, a fantasy league, and now we've got the Below League as well. We're going to go through just touch on how that draft went last week, and I'll talk a little bit about my team and maybe a little bit about what I was thinking in terms of where my draft position was and the guys that I decided to go with at that time. Very interesting stuff. So we've got a full show coming our way, and we're going to kick it off actually right now with Chris Wessling of RotoWorld.com. Chris writes up some great stuff along with the rest of the staff there, Greg Rosenthal and all the others, each and every day on RotoWorld.com. Chris, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing great, and really excited that in just a couple hours we're going to actually have some football, NFL football, coming our way with Pittsburgh and Tennessee. I guess right off the bat, any thoughts, since we're right 4 hours away from this first game, who are we eyeing very closely fantasy-wise tonight? Who's going to have a big night?
I like Big Ben this year. I think he's going to get back to 25-plus touchdowns like he did in 2007. I kind of like Chris Johnson. He did well against some tough defenses last year, including the Ravens in the playoffs, so I'm not too scared about that matchup. We'll see. I think he's going to get quite a few dump-offs tonight.
Gotcha. All right, well, in reading some of your stuff that you've had this week, I just want to touch on a few guys real quick. Brandon Marshall, you've written about, and we've heard all kinds of stuff in terms of with Marshall, he's suspended by the team. Where does Brandon Marshall stand in week one? Because, this is a pretty high-profile player and a pretty good fantasy player, and I think a lot of people want to know, is this a guy I can rely on?
Yeah, I'd plug him in with no hesitation. I still worry about him throughout the season, being a knucklehead all year, but for this week, I'd have no problem playing him against the Bengals.
All right, Chris Wessling, we're with you. Thanks for joining us here. Another guy I want to ask you about, sorry, we're having a little trouble hearing you right now, but we're going to get this all squared away. You mentioned that the Jets and Chiefs were talking about a Dwayne Bowe deal, and the Chiefs are a team that are very intriguing to the Patriots and Patriots fans from a fantasy perspective with Matt Castle in Kansas City, and Castle had an interesting year last year. But the Matt Castle-Dwayne Bowe tandem, is that a fantasy tandem that we can rely on this year, or what can we think? What do you think about Castle and Bowe?
I like Bowe a lot more than I like Castle, simply because the Chiefs have no one else to throw to. Their receivers are pretty poor outside of Bo. He's a great talent, but Mark Bradley and Bobby Engram aren't very reliable, and they don't have much behind that. Castle, on the other hand, I'm down on him this year. I just think that he's going to have a big downgrade of weapons from Moss and Welker, and I don't know that Todd Haley's going to be able to protect him as well as Belichick did behind a much better line. The Chiefs' offensive line is pretty poor. So I'd be scared of Castle, but I kind of like Dwayne Bowe.
Sounds good. Sounds good. And, you know, Tony Gonzalez is a guy who left the Chiefs. Is he your number one tight end this year now that he's in Atlanta?
No, I have him behind Witten and Antonio Gates still. Gonzalez is still, you know, he's still one of the best talents ever, but they're not going to pass quite as much as the Chiefs did last year in that pistol spread that they used to close out last season. So Gonzalez's stats are kind of fluky for the last 8 games of last year when they used that pistol spread. I think he'll have a slight come down in his stats, but still a top 3 guy.
Gotcha, gotcha. Chris Wessling of RotoWorld.com joining us here on the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com. All right, this is Patriots.com, and with fantasy, you know, you can't just focus solely on the team that you root for. But here in the Patriots, you know, there's a lot of talk. Everyone knows Tom Brady is, at least in 2007, was probably the best fantasy quarterback for sure, and question marks on him coming into this year. But everyone's expecting the Brady-Moss tandem to hook up, Brady and Welker to be all right. But running back and tight end here in New England, is there any one guy that you think is going to emerge, either a running back or a tight end, that even if someone didn't draft in fantasy drafts this year, by week 3, 4, 5, we might be able to focus in on and say, this is our guy?
I think at tight end, it looks to me like Chris Baker is the guy. Seems like Ben Watson's in the doghouse. He hasn't been able to stay healthy, and Chris Baker's pretty solid as both a blocker and a receiver. So I think he'll emerge as the starter, not a great fantasy option on a weekly basis, but maybe a bi-week fill-in. And the backfield, I could see that going committee all season just because that's the way Belichick's been using that for years. Falk's going to catch most of the passes. You know, I could see Sammy Morris getting goal line, Fred Taylor the early downs, and then Maroney's going to get his too. If I had to go with a guy, I'd say Fred Taylor, but I tend to stay away from that situation.
Backfield by committee, always the bane of existence for our fantasy players. What are some of the other teams that have backfield by committee that, you know, fantasy football players should probably stay away from at least early on until a guy emerges? Any teams in particular? Tampa Bay, I guess, probably comes to mind that we should keep an eye on.
Right, Tampa Bay, I don't really want any part of their backfield either. Cadillac's getting a lot of love because of, you know, that's a pretty good story down there, as much as he's had to go through, but you know, what are his chances of staying healthy all year? And if he's only getting 40% of the carries, you know, that's not much of a weekly asset. So I'd stay away from Tampa. I really think Steve Slayton's getting overdrafted in Houston. Chris Brown's going to see carries down there, including goal line work. So I'd kind of let somebody else take him, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like Ray Rice to emerge in Baltimore, but that still threatens to be a split there. And I'm staying away from Joseph Addai. You know, Donald Brown, the first rounder, could be significantly more talented than Addai, and I think he'll work his way in and start seeing more of the carries.
Sure, the Joseph Addai, Donald Brown, and then in Arizona, the Tim Hightower, Beanie Wells. It seems to be a similar one, sort of similar to Indianapolis. Where do you see Hightower and Wells? I mean, ultimately, will Wells be the guy down there this year?
I think so. I think he's just that much more talented than Hightower, and you know, they tried Hightower last year for 7 games, and he averaged, you know, 2 yards a carry and only had 1 game over 40 yards. So he's been – they've tried him before, and he almost sabotaged their offense. So I don't see him holding off a back as talented as Wells for very long.
Chris Wessling of RotoWorld.com joining us. Chris, wondering how long you've been involved in fantasy football, maybe how long and how old you were when you had your first you first got yourself involved in fantasy football.
This would go back to early to mid-90s with my high school buddies. I graduated high school in 92, and we started a league shortly after that in 93 or 94. So it's been just over 15 years, and been enjoying it ever since.
Did you think back in the 92, 93 time that maybe you'd be able to make it a bigger part of your life than just a hobby, as maybe a career?
No, I had no idea. I had never heard of the internet back then. So,
who
you
did?
Know, that was right. We had no idea. Information was so much harder to come by back then. I remember, you know, a few years before that, before high school, trying to get baseball stats from USA Today or the Sporting News, and you had to go out and find that stuff. It wasn't available. So I think it was hard for any of us to believe that this could be an option, something to do for a living. That wasn't on the radar at all.
It's amazing how it's evolved. And have you found, you know, at least when you're drafting your own teams, do you tend to have a philosophy, you know, okay, well, sticking with football, you know, I tried not to, you know, not to draft a quarterback in the first round. Or can you ever stick to a philosophy, or is it a year-by-year proposition where, hey, here are my rankings, and I just got to go with best available?
Right. I think as far as position-wise and you know, going running back heavy or running back this round, receiver that round, I think you have to kind of go best available and look at where your tiers are and where the gaps are. The one philosophy I have on a yearly basis is basically I like to take the high upside guys, and I don't worry too much about their floors. You know, I liked a guy like Chris Johnson last year a lot more than other people because I just liked his upside, and Adrian Peterson when he came into the league, and Calvin Johnson. You know, that's my one philosophy, swing for the fences. You got to give it your hardest shot and go for it.
And then you just got to hope no injuries. That's
right.
You drafted Tom Brady last year. What are you going to do?
Right. You know, that's what the waiver wire is for.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. It's huge. Chris, we know you're cranking out news in real time over there at rotoworld.com, so we'll let you go and let you get back to that. Many thanks for joining us today. We hope to hear from you again as the season moves on. Enjoy tonight. Enjoy game one.
Okay, thanks. My pleasure.
All right, take care. Chris Wessling of rotoworld.com. He and the rest of the staff there crank out great stuff. We like bringing up some of their topics here on the Fantasy Lowdown, and we appreciate him joining us. My apologies because I had a little rookie mistake early on. I didn't turn my headphones on, so I was having trouble hearing him. And here I am trying to get Jason's attention. Yeah, seriously. Here I am trying to get Jason's attention and saying, hey, I can't hear him. And, hey, you know, week one jitters. You know, the Patriots players
are
talking
about.
Yeah, I know, enough. Patriots players this week were talking about how they have week one jitters, even when they're 10, 12, 15-year veterans. And I didn't think I had any jitters today, but I guess rookie mistakes, week one mistakes, and what are you going to do? But we do thank Chris for joining us here on the Fantasy Lowdown as we get you set for week one of the fantasy football season. 508-543-7482 is our phone number. Webradio at patriots.com is our email address. And what I want to do is get right to some emails because we do have a bunch in the inbox and we're welcoming your emails all throughout the hour here. And keep in mind, you can send me your emails at any point during the week. We will hold them. We'll wait for the 4 o'clock on Thursdays, and we'll talk about them. We really try to be email-driven. So, Todd in Nova Scotia kicks things off as far as emails go for the 2009 Fantasy Lowdown. Hey, B-Low, who should I start in a flex points per reception league? Bernard Berrien at Cleveland, Donald Brown versus Jacksonville, Felix Jones at Tampa Bay, or Donald Driver versus Chicago? Thanks, Todd in Nova Scotia. Todd, thanks for the email. Thank you, as always. So a flex points per reception league, you know, points per reception, you're still going to lean towards, I think, most of the time a wide receiver. In this particular case, I'm saying Donald Brown is going to be out of the picture out of these four, first of all. I just don't think a rookie necessarily, if you're really trying to keep the focus on points per reception, I know it's not just points per reception. I'm going to stay away from Donald Brown in this one. Not sure I like him all that much this week. Felix Jones at Tampa Bay is an interesting one, but I don't really feel the Dallas offense right off the bat. Donald Driver versus Chicago is an interesting one. Bernard Berrien versus Cleveland at Cleveland. I'm going to lean toward Donald Driver, Todd, and here's why. That Aaron Rodgers-led offense I think is going to be great, and I think the top three receivers for the Green Bay Packers, especially the top two, Greg Jennings and Donald Driver, I think they're week in, week out, close to must-starts. Obviously Greg Jennings, but I like Donald Driver a lot, and I think he can capitalize against the Chicago secondary. So if I had to rank them, I'd probably go Donald Driver, then Bernard Berrien, then Felix Jones, then Donald Brown. That's how I would look at that one, Todd, in Nova Scotia. Thank you very much. Ian in Scotland, boy, are we not worldwide. We love being worldwide. And Scotland, boy, we'll be close to Scotland later in late October, heading out to England. this year, Ian. This is a long email here from Ian. Hey, B-Lo, I believe my fantasy team is looking pretty solid. I'm in a standard 12-team league. I have to start a QB, two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end, kicker, and team defense or special teams. His roster consists of QB, Jay Cutler and Matt Hasselbeck, running back Adrian Peterson, I assume it's the Adrian Peterson, Brandon Jacobs, Willie Parker, and Ahmad Bradshaw, wide receivers Reggie Wayne, Steve Smith of Carolina, Jericho Cautry, Lavernius Coles, Devery Henderson, tight end Antonio Gates, kicker John Kearney, defense is the Dolphins. Ian's got a couple questions here. Recently traded for Steve Smith, giving up Ocho Cinco and Percy Harvin. Do you think this was a good trade? You know, I think that's a pretty even trade. I think we're going to see a lot out of Ocho Cinco this year. I really, really do. I'd probably say Steve Smith is going to end up with the better fantasy stats than Ocho Cinco, but I think they're going to be close enough. And with Percy Harvin, he's intriguing enough to me in that Brett Favre offense that I would probably have stuck with Ocho Cinco and Percy Harvin, but I think it's close. I'm certainly not going to rip you for that trade. Steve Smith is elite. Ocho Cinco has just dropped off a little bit from elite, but I think that's an interesting trade. I just picked up Devery Henderson and dropped Rashard Mendenhall. I'd probably say that's a decent move. I plan to start him this week along with Wayne and Smith. He's playing against the Lions team, who were terrible at just about everything last year. Do you think this move was a mistake? Would you start Coles and Cautry as third wide receiver over Henderson? Don't think the move was a mistake. Rashard Mendenhall, the jury is still out on him. I think he'll get his opportunities, but Devery Henderson, New Orleans, and specifically this week against the Lions, I like the move. Would I start Lavernius Coles or Cautry as a third receiver over Henderson? A lot of weeks I would. I'd lean with Henderson this week. I like Henderson as a third receiver against the Lions. Then who would I start at QB this week? Cutler against the Packers or Hasselbeck against the Rams? I'm swaying towards Hasselbeck with his improved wide receiver core despite the current weaknesses in his offensive line. That's Ian. Ian, I'm going to agree with you. I was going to get to Matt Hasselbeck later in the show. I think Matt Hasselbeck has been maybe the most undervalued quarterback going in drafts this year, and I think he's going to be a comeback player of the year candidate, and specifically this week against the Rams, I'm looking for big things out of him. He's had great career stats against the Rams. They face each other twice a year these days. I think Hasselbeck has something like a 16 touchdown to 7 interception ratio in the last 3 or 4 years against the Rams. Specifically this week, I like Hasselbeck. I would start him over Cutler. And in general this year, I like Hasselbeck a lot as a fantasy quarterback. Last question here from Ian. Finally, do you consider the Chargers' defense an upgrade over the Dolphins as they are currently available? 100%. Can't stress this enough. The Chargers have 6 games against Oakland, Denver, and Kansas City. Love the Chargers' defense and special teams this year. I like them anyways, but in that division, I definitely like them. And the Dolphins, not so much. I think the Dolphins, they've got some of the top quarterbacks in early portion of their season. Breeze, Brady, they are just among the few. I like San Diego over Miami as far as defense. So, Ian, thank you very much for your email. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address here. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. In just a bit, we're going to get to a very intriguing fantasy football article that I found, that I came across that really was interesting to me. We're going to get to that and a few more of your emails right after this.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted.
What?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan.
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member FDIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football, 3 Super Bowl championships, endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Atta-bitty-terry!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. Fantasy Lowdown coming to you every week here on Patriots.com Radio, Thursdays from 4 to 5 Eastern, and of course available as a podcast after the show. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. We've got quite a few emails still to go. But before we get back to those emails, I want to talk about a wildly intriguing concept that I came across in a Wall Street Journal article from about a week ago. The title of the article is A New Kind of Pocket Protection. And here's what it's all about. There's a company called Fantasy Sports Insurance, the brainchild of Anthony Jaconi and Henry Olszewski. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing those names. And here's what it's all about. This is from the article by Nando DeFino in the Wall Street Journal. Two Long Island insurance brokers have developed a way for the fantasy owner to experience the bittersweet taste of an insurance payout when their superstar goes down with a season-ending injury. It's one of the most forehead-slappingly obvious innovations that the world of fantasy sports has seen since live scoring. Fantasy Sports Insurance offers the fantasy owner the ability to recoup league fees and all other related costs if one of their star players falls to an injury and misses the bulk of the season. FSI only offers football insurance for now, but its executives hope to expand soon to baseball, basketball, and hockey. The idea of FSI is laughably simple, even for someone whose only experience with insurance is sliding a $5 chip to the blackjack dealer when he's showing an ace. After drafting his team, a fantasy owner goes to fantasysportsinsurance.com, whose homepage rotates a series of stomach-turning photos of athletes, including Tom Brady, writhing on the floor in pain. They offer 3 options for nervous fantasy owners to protect their investments. A player misses 10 of the first 15 games due to injury. A player misses 8 of the first 12 games due to injury. 3 players miss a combined 18 of the first 15 games due to injury. How unbelievable is this? When I read this article, it blew my mind. Exactly as they said it, it's laughably simple, and it's forehead-slappingly obvious. So basically, and they use Tom Brady as an example, if you have a player who goes down with an injury early in the season and misses a good portion of the season, you can basically get your monetary fees back for the league entry fee and even any possible other fees that you used, buying fantasy guides and all that. You can get it back. Now, the writer of this article, Nando DeFino, was even able to get thoughts from Maurice Jones-Drew, a top first-round pick in all fantasy leagues this year. Jacksonville running back Maurice Jones-Drew has played fantasy football for the last 2 of his 4 pro seasons. He has no problem with a man he has never met, quote-unquote, owning him on a fantasy team, or that someone may buy insurance on him in case of injury. In fact, Jones-Drew seems a little envious of the two insurance brokers in Long Island. Man, he says, I wish I would have thought of that. Boy, so do I. Apparently, this is going to be taken off. It looks like this is taking off, and I'm certainly curious to hear if anyone has any thoughts on fantasy insurance. I certainly want to know if anyone has purchased fantasy insurance. It's quite an interesting concept when you think about it. If you were someone who drafted Tom Brady in the first round last year, thinking in terms of him duplicating what he did in 2007, and, you know, you enter your $100 into a league and you buy fantasy guides and all that, and he goes down with an injury in week one. Well, even if you end up replacing him with, say, Matt Castle and still having a decent year, you could still recoup some money through fantasy sports insurance. It's really interesting. I wanted to bring it up as a topic here, and I certainly would like to hear your thoughts on that and other things. Let's get back to a few other emails. This is from strippers. We always hear from strippers all throughout the Patriots.com network of shows. Very simple question from him. Who do I start? Chris Baker, the Patriots tight end, playing Buffalo this week, or Greg Olsen, the Chicago Bears tight end, against Green Bay? Strippers, thanks for the email. Chris Baker, it looks like, and as Chris Wessling, we heard from earlier from RotoWorld.com, said, Chris Baker will probably ultimately emerge as the best Patriots tight end as far as receptions and touchdowns from an actual real football perspective and from a fantasy perspective. I just don't know that I would rely on a Patriots tight end this early in week one. I want to see how things play out. Greg Olsen, I think, is going to be a stud tight end. I'm not sold on Jay Cutler overall as being a number one fantasy quarterback for your team, but I think when he does throw the ball, Greg Olsen is going to be the primary target. I like him this week against Green Bay. So in that particular situation there, strippers, I take Greg Olsen over the Patriots, Chris Baker. But keep Chris Baker in mind as the season goes on. I wouldn't rule him out. Mark Nellis from the UK chimes in. Hi, Brian. I had my fantasy draft last night, and I ended up with Matt Ryan as my starting QB after a run on QBs in the draft. How do you see Matt Ryan's upcoming fantasy season going? Is he the real deal, or will there be a sophomore slump? Will Tony Gonzalez be the biggest factor in all of this? Props for the show, B-Low. Don't take any grief from the PFW boys. We'll give you some ammo to fire back at them. Hey, Mark, thanks. I take grief from the PFW guys all the time. I think that's just kind of the way they operate, and that's fine. I take it as a sign that they care. I'd rather them give me grief than just not care at all, but always looking for ammo to fire back at them nonetheless. As for your question, I like Matt Ryan quite a bit as a fantasy star this year, and I think Tony Gonzalez will be, if not the biggest factor, one of the biggest factors. I think Michael Turner's a huge factor for them, too. Not that he's going to be catching passes from Matt Ryan all that much, but I think having that great running game is huge for Matt Ryan. I think Roddy White is an impressive talent. We saw what Matt Ryan to Roddy White did last year, and I think Tony Gonzalez is going to be one of the top two or three tight ends in fantasy this year, so that's going to go hand in hand with Matt Ryan. I like you taking Matt Ryan. If there was a run on QBs and you weren't at that top tier of the run, I do like Matt Ryan quite a bit. Good draft pick there. Mark, obviously, it depends on where you drafted him, I guess. But in general, very much like that pick, Matt Ryan. Now, that does lead me into the draft that I want to talk about that I was involved in from PFW in Progress here. There's a new – I even have a league. How about that? The B-Low League, which is really something that I never dreamed about growing up as a kid. Wanted to be involved in sports, but yeah, I never dreamed that I'd have my own league. I figured having my own team would be attainable, but now I have my own league, and it's really great. Our thanks to everybody who's involved in this league, and I thought maybe we could go through, you know, not go through pick by pick of our draft, but we did have our draft on Saturday. I had the sixth pick, and I ended up with D'Angelo Williams, who was sort of the end of my first tier of running backs. Tom Brady went pretty early to our own Jason Dvorkin. He went number two overall. Adrian Peterson, one. Tom Brady, two. Michael Turner, three. Matt Forte, four. Maurice Jones-Drew, five. And then D'Angelo Williams, six. With that Maurice Jones-Drew, D'Angelo Williams, I remember hoping that D'Angelo Williams would be there. I'm not sold on Maurice Jones-Drew going as high as he's been going. I think he certainly deserves to be top seven, top eight. I've seen him a lot at two and three, and I didn't really like that. I was happy to get D'Angelo Williams right there at six because the other running backs, Westbrook, Chris Johnson, LaDainian Tomlinson, I felt that there was a bit of a drop-off, and D'Angelo Williams could still be in that first tier, especially since it seems like you know, the arrow is pointing downward on Jonathan Stewart right now for injury reasons. As good as they were as a tandem last year, I think D'Angelo Williams is going to still hold up his end of the bargain. Not quite sold on Jonathan Stewart right now. So the first round went by the boards, and Tom Brady and Larry Fitzgerald were the only two non-running backs taken, Fitzgerald going 10th. And then at the start of round two, we started seeing, we had Randy Moss, and then we had Drew Brees. So starting to see, okay, you know, we got to start thinking in terms of non-running backs here. And I ended up with Andre Johnson. I was really thrilled to get him in the middle of round two. I figured for sure, you know, he's a top three guy between Larry Fitzgerald and Randy Moss. I thought after Moss went, after Fitzgerald and Moss went, I didn't think Andre Johnson would be there for me with the seventh pick in round two, but he was. I was excited to get him. And, you know, that I felt was a good pick. And then in the third round, I think just as excited as I was for Andre Johnson, I was thrilled that Marcus Colston was still there, because Marcus Colston, second tier, maybe not in that elite tier this year, and he had a lot of lost time last year because of injury, but Drew Brees throws the ball. He's going to be the number one fantasy QB, and Marcus Colston is going to end up being the number one fantasy wide receiver. Not number one fantasy wide receiver in the entire league, but the number one target for Drew Brees. So I was very happy the way that went. And, Doctor, any thoughts that you had on your first couple picks there through the first three or four rounds?
Seeing as how my first couple of picks, I was still in my car on the way to the stadium, I just want to thank the nice folks at Yahoo for picking a good team for me.
You know, I didn't want to bring it up. I mean, hey, you know, traffic happens. You know, you're in your car. But do you feel like you were, what was your first, was it round three or round four that you finally stepped in? You don't remember.
It was probably about round five, maybe.
Yeah, Reggie
five or
Wayne.
Six.
Getting Reggie Wayne in round three, I thought was really good, whether that was you picking or the computer. A very good pick. Just running down, speaking of Matt Ryan, which was our last emailer, I took Matt Ryan in round four. That was earlier than I think I would have really liked, but more and more I was excited that I had Matt Ryan on my team. You know, initially, as I look back on this, you know, maybe I could have gone with, you know, another running back or another wide receiver. I didn't see the running back value there, and even though Matt Ryan may have been a reach for round four, I really do think he's going to have a solid season, a better than solid season, and not have a sophomore slump. I don't see that. So taking Matt Ryan there with the seventh pick in the fourth round, I was okay with. Wasn't thrilled with. I was okay with. There started to be a run on tight ends, so you had to consider those tight ends because Tony Gonzalez had already been taken, Antonio Gates had already been taken, and Jason Witten was still out there. I considered him. He was taken next by James and Wales, and you know, I thought that was a very good pick. Looking quickly at some of the later picks, another one that to me was I took Darren McFadden in round five, and I know I'll probably get emails saying, "Boy, was that a reach?" And I sort of agree, but I'm really high on Darren McFadden, which I know is weird. He's a Raider. They might have a running back by committee. I really feel strongly that he's going to emerge as the number one guy there, and it's all about if he stays healthy. And then looking a little more, I took Bernard Berrien in round six. I was able to get Derek Ward in round seven, which, again, a running back by committee, but he's a guy going into it who I think is going to be a their top guy ultimately, and getting him in round seven was good. And then finally, I took a tight end in round eight, John Carlson, who I think is, you know, certainly not top tier. I think maybe in another year or two he could be top tier there, but that Seattle passing game I think is going to be pretty good, so I was happy with that.
Come on, in round eight, I picked up a great backup quarterback.
In round eight, you picked up a great Who'd you
Eli take? Manning.
You did take Eli Manning in round. Boy, you got Brady and Manning. Enjoy that. Hey, you know, now you made that pick, Jason. You think Eli Manning was your
pick? Yeah, I think my first pick was round four with TJ.
Round four with TJ. Yeah, not bad. Not bad. You got TJ Houshmandzadeh. I like him a lot. Now,
TJ, who's your mama? Championship.
We've talked about Matt Hasselbeck. We touched on him earlier, early on in the show. And I really think he's being undervalued. I got him in round 10, which I thought that was a steal. I think I stole him in round 10. He's my backup to Matt Ryan. The two BC quarterbacks named Matt, I got on my team. So that was something I was happy with, getting Matt Hasselbeck right there. And, hey, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, as far as my team, as I'm looking at my week one and who to start and who to sit, yeah, I really debated between Matt Ryan and Matt Hasselbeck, and still am, but I'm going to go with Matt Ryan as the quarterback instead of Hasselbeck. Excited about my two wide receivers, Andre Johnson and Marcus Colston. Later on, I went with Ted Ginn Jr., who I think is a solid guy to have as my third wideout, and Bernard Berrien. Bernard Berrien, Ted Ginn Jr. as my third wideouts. Running backs D'Angelo Williams and Darren McFadden. I feel strongly about McFadden, as I mentioned earlier, so I'm excited about having him there. And then Derek Ward. I got LeSean McCoy pretty late, and I took Justin Fargas as a handcuff pick there. Even though I do feel strongly about McFadden, I figured it was good value to pick up Fargas there down there at the end.
I think where I'm hurting, Bilo, and you know, not to take any competitive advantage away and get any inside information here, but my running backs are fairly weak. No disrespect to the Patriot, who I do have as a running back, in Sammy Morris. I also have Marshawn Lynch and Tim Hightower, who I actually picked up in a late round. But I would say if I had a look at it, I'm kind of scratching my head going, who do I start on this weekend?
Well, I may be going of those three. Sammy Morris is unplayable for this week. Marshawn Lynch is unplayable for this week. Lynch obviously is suspended. Sammy Morris, I just don't think we're going to see a lot out of him. He's really their number three running back as far as pure running backs. Kevin Fox ahead of him on the depth chart, but Lawrence Maroney and Fred Taylor, I think, are ahead of him. I feel I'm high on Tim Hightower. I'm high on Tim Hightower, especially this week. They play San Francisco. San Francisco, I'm not sold on that defense. I wouldn't hesitate to start Tim Hightower this week, especially if those are your options, Jason. Again, you know, as you said, we're competitors here. I shouldn't be giving you this free advice. It's okay when I give the emailers their free advice, but you're a competitor, and you're right across from me right here. I don't know. We're gonna be going at it this season, so I take back what I said. Start Sammy Morris, and you'll be happy.
So back to the other people who are in the B-Lo Fantasy Football League. What's the prize? I think we need to do something for whoever beats you head-to-head each week.
We've got five other microphones here in this studio. How about the last week of the Fantasy Lowdown, they come here in studio? They pay their own expenses. we do have to come up with a prize.
I don't think James in Wales is going to go for that.
Maybe, well, you know, hey, we'll put the pressure on him. If he wins the league, maybe we'll come up with a way to get him out here and join us here on the Fantasy Lowdown. James, keep that in mind. I know you're listening. Keep that in mind. Let's get to some emails as we move along here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Web radio at patriots.com. This is from Kenneth. Kenneth says, in one of my two leagues, I managed to pick up Tom Brady. But as a consequence, my third running back, he puts in parentheses, we have a position for one wide receiver slash running back, a flex spot, was picked from a poor availability. So a few questions about low-end running backs. Do you feel that no Sean Moreno will have any value during the season, or is it a wasted pick? That was question number one. Number two, with both Sammy Morris and Kevin Falk available, which would you pick up if you were choosing only between those two? Good questions, Kenneth. Thanks for emailing in. Number one, do you feel that no Sean Moreno will have any value during the season, or is it a wasted pick? Absolutely he'll have value during the season. I just think it's a little murky early on, A, because he was battling an injury during the preseason, and B, because they've got a bunch of guys, almost like the Patriots had last year, including Lamont Jordan, but also Kurell Buckhalter, guys who, you know, we might see a bit of a running back by committee there. But listen, I don't think you take a running back in the first round without at least giving him every opportunity early in his first year, in his rookie year. I think with running backs, you've got to maximize these running backs from the NFL team perspective early on. No Sean Moreno, if he's healthy, he will get carries. He's not a guy I'd want to start this week, but definitely hold on to No Sean Moreno. It's not a wasted pick. Not sure exactly where in your draft you took him. Hey, if you took him in the fifth round, it might be a little high, but if you were able to get him later on, yeah, I think No Sean Moreno is good this year. Your second question, Sammy Morris and Kevin Falk, we just touched on that with Jason. If I had to pick one of the two, it would probably be Kevin Falk, although I don't like either one of them from a fantasy point of view. Like I said with Morris, he's behind Taylor and Maroney as far as the pure running backs on this team. Kevin Falk, hey, as we've seen from the Patriots offense, he's going to get his touches. It's a week-by-week thing. It's hard to go into too many weeks saying, this is a big fantasy week for Kevin Falk. But if I had to go with one of the two, Kenneth, I'd go with Falk. Wouldn't feel too comfortable. So Moreno, stick with him. And go Morris over Falk. Email from Mike. Hey, B-Lo. First off, glad to have found this show. Mike, we're glad to have you. This is my first year playing this game, and I think I'm already addicted, and the games have not even started. Hey, that's the way it goes. You just wait, Mike. If this is your first year, you just wait till tonight, till Sunday, as you're watching the games. You'll watch with a whole new perspective. Here's what Mike says. Since it's my first year, I was hoping you could take a look at my team and see where I could better my team. It's a 10-team league, and we get 1 point per reception. Other things are the same from what I can tell. Start one QB, two running backs, three wideouts, one tight end, one flex, one defense, and one kicker. All right, Mike, happy to help. He lists his whole roster here, and we're going to get to it. QB, Carson Palmer and Matt Ryan. I think that's a pretty solid 1-2. If Matt Ryan is your backup, I think that's really good. I'm high on Carson Palmer this year. I really am. I think he's going to have a good year. I think Lavernius Coles is going to be a solid guy there, and I think Ocho Cinco is going to have get back to more of his what we saw from him during his heyday in 2004 to 2007. There's no reason to think about upgrading there. I mean, if you're able to get a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning, great, but I think having Palmer and Ryan, I think if anything, you might be able, if you can pick up a quarterback, maybe an underrated guy as the season goes on, and you're able to move Matt Ryan or Carson Palmer for a position that maybe you're weaker in as the season goes on, think about that. As far as running backs, Adrian Peterson, boy, that guy's weak. That's a weak number one running back. I kid, of course, Mike. Great guy to have. You must have had the first pick in your draft. Then you've got some question marks a little bit. Reggie Bush, Ray Rice, Donald Brown, Beanie Wells. The questions there are, of those four, will one of them emerge? Well, here are the problems. Reggie Bush, hey, he's been an underachiever as far as NFL goes, but he's pretty good as far as points per reception. And with question marks surrounding Pierre Thomas going into week one, he's definitely an interesting guy and probably your best bet this week. I like Ray Rice a lot. There's been question marks on that running game, LaRon McClain, Willis McGahee, who gets the bulk of the load. I think Ray Rice is going to be your guy. You might want to see how that all pans out as a couple weeks go on, but I wouldn't hesitate to start Ray Rice this week. Donald Brown and Beanie Wells being the rookies, not real high on them for this week. Keep them on your roster, at least initially. See where that goes. I think if both of those two guys end up doing well early on, I'd think about trading one of them if you can upgrade at running back, or maybe if you package one of your quarterbacks and really upgrade at running back, if you can take a Carson Palmer and a Donald Brown and trade them for an even better running back and go in with Adrian Peterson and a really solid number two. I think that would be a really good move there, Mike. But see how it plays out. For this week, I'd go Adrian Peterson, and I'd go Reggie Bush as your starters, as you put in your email, and Ray Rice as a flex. As for your wide receivers, boy, you got a really solid 1-2 there, Calvin Johnson and Greg Jennings. Those are two top eight, top nine wide receivers. Vincent Jackson is a pretty solid number three. And Ted Ginn as your number four, I think that's real solid, number four there. I think Ted Ginn is going to be a pretty good number three fantasy receiver for a lot of people. And then you got Chris Henry and Earl Bennett. Chris Henry, underrated going into this year. We mentioned Carson Palmer earlier, talked about Ocho Cinco and talked about Lavernius Coles. I think Chris Henry, hey, he's a head case. Don't know if I trust him as a buddy, but as a fantasy wide receiver, and if he's number five in your depth chart, that's real good. Jason Witten's a solid tight end to have there. Nick Folk and San Diego defense. I mentioned San Diego defense earlier. I think San Diego D is underrated. There's six teams, six games that they play against that weak division. I think that's pretty good. Nick Folk, he's a good kicker. If you've heard me talk about kickers or read columns I've had in Patriots Football Weekly, kicker to me, not that I don't value what kickers mean to fantasy and the points you can get from them, it's just that their opportunities are so dependent on other guys. I like taking a kicker who's in a dome or warm weather. Nick Folk's pretty good. Hey, Mike, we appreciate you sending in your email. Hope we hear from you each and every week, and good luck to you in your first week. Let's keep on cranking through some emails. We've got a bunch of them to get to. This is from Marvin in Kernersville, North Carolina. B-Low, love your show. I have Jonathan Stewart as one of my starting backs, but unsure whether to start him this week or play Rashard Mendenhall or Sammy Morris. Steve Slayton is my other starting back, so what do you think? Well, Marvin, Steve Slayton's a good guy to have. We've started hearing some things, and Chris Wessling talked about this too. Chris Brown of the Texans may be cutting into Slayton's carries, but until further notice, Steve Slayton's certainly a pretty good number one back. And then Jonathan Stewart, Rashard Mendenhall, or Sammy Morris. That is a tough one as a number two running back. Forget about Sammy Morris. Do not start Sammy Morris this week. I don't like him for this week, and the jury's still out for him over the course of the season. As far as Jonathan Stewart and Rashard Mendenhall, I'd probably go with Mendenhall right off the bat, although I don't love him or Stewart for this week. And ultimately, Mendenhall is probably a guy who's going to get a little more. I think Mendenhall, with Willie Parker being a guy who is a little injury-prone, I think Mendenhall ultimately over the course of the season will be interesting. And I'm looking real quick right now at Greg Jennings' rankings on rotoworld.com. A great read every week. He's got great rankings. He's got Jonathan Stewart as his 39th guy and Rashard Mendenhall 45th this week. I know you got to make a decision on Mendenhall right off the bat. If push came to shove for me right now, 3 hours and 10 minutes before game time tonight, I'd go Mendenhall, Marvin. Good luck on that decision. Go with Slayton and Mendenhall. Next up, Tracy in Vegas. I missed the name of that article about fantasy football insurance. Can you point me to that article again? I sure can, Tracy. If you missed it, we talked about this new concept of fantasy football insurance. I came across this article. It was on the Wall Street Journal website. I think it's WSJ.com. It was written by Nando DeFino. I had it forwarded to me actually by my girlfriend. My girlfriend, who very much enjoys football and also is, you know, getting into fantasy football a little bit as well, she forwarded it to me. It's from the Wall Street Journal, Tracy. I hope you can find it. It was from September 1st, just last week. So that was interesting. And got an email, another email from Mark about the fantasy insurance. Surely fantasy insurance is taking the whole thing a bit too far. I played fantasy football for years, and it's always been great fun, and that's what it should be. Is it not getting a little bit serious taking out insurance against your players as well? Other people are making money off the back of our recreational pursuits. I just think you're taking it too seriously. If you feel the need to have it, it's an unnecessary expense at your expense. Fantasy football should be fun. Well, Mark, I can't disagree with you there that fantasy football should be fun. And, you know, I'm not taking the plunge quite yet on fantasy insurance. I thought it was a very interesting article. I guess what I'm saying is I'm really curious and intrigued to see if this takes off. If you probably said to a lot of people 15 years ago, you know, brought up the concept of fantasy football, fantasy sports in general, I bet a lot of people would have laughed at you and said, what are you talking about? A fake team? But it's become a great hobby for millions of people. I would not be surprised if fantasy insurance takes off a little bit, Mark. Maybe I'm not sold on it yet, and I'm not buying it yet. But it was very interesting when I came across, and I appreciate your thoughts there, Mark. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address as we plow forward here on the Fantasy Lowdown for Week 1. How exciting is it? 3 hours and change from the first game of the year, Tennessee against Pittsburgh. And if we're looking at that game from a fantasy point of view, really not sold on either QB from a fantasy perspective this year, Ben Roethlisberger or Kerry Collins. From a running back standpoint, I feel much more comfortable. If you have Chris Johnson, if you have Chris Johnson, I feel very comfortable with him, of course. And then on the other hand, if you have Willie Parker, I like him tonight. I like him in general, but if I had Willie Parker on my team, I definitely want to be handcuffing him with Rashard Mendenhall. That is for sure. And as far as wideouts, you know, Santonio Holmes, good wideout, good maybe number two, maybe number three fantasy wideout. I think the jury's still on him as far as getting through a full season and being a reliable guy. And Hines Ward's a very reliable, certainly points per reception guy. As far as Tennessee wideouts, like the future of Kenny Britt, like Justin Gage a little bit too, but you know, none of them really are fantasy standouts. So it's not the most intriguing fantasy game to kick off the NFL season, but we'll certainly get to them on Sunday. Another email here. This is from Todd. Todd, below. He says, below, I need some help. Two teams here are my head scratchers. So he's got two teams. Let's just go with each one. Team one, QB, Matt Ryan versus Miami, and he says he has Roddy White as receiver, or Schaub versus the Jets. I'd lean towards Matt Ryan. Love Matt Schaub. Have him on one of my teams. I'd go with Matt Ryan this week against against Miami. His running back question, Steve Slayton against the Jets or Thomas Jones against Houston? So in that game, the Jets versus Houston, I'd certainly lean towards Steve Slayton. I think he's a better running back. Don't love Thomas Jones this year. Go with Slayton this week, although that's close. Team two, QB, Romo versus Tampa Bay or Hasselbeck versus St. Louis. I've talked about Hasselbeck quite a bit this show. Like Hasselbeck a lot this year. Love Hasselbeck this week against St. Louis. Not really sold on Romo for this season. I think he'll probably have a decent game against Tampa Bay, but I really, really, really do enjoy Hasselbeck for this week. I'd go with him. Hope I'm right on that. His flex position, Chris Johnson against Pittsburgh, that's tonight. Mike Bell versus Detroit, and he says, I wonder if Pierre Thomas is going to play for New Orleans, or Anthony Gonzalez versus Jacksonville. I would hesitate to use Mike Bell with or without Pierre Thomas. Chris Johnson against Pittsburgh, he's the best player among your three there. I'd probably lean towards him, although Anthony Gonzalez against Jacksonville is a very interesting one. He says his other running backs are Gore and Grant. Stick with Gore. Gore, Grant, and Chris Johnson. That's an interesting trio there. I might like Gore and Chris Johnson as my running backs, and then it would be between Grant and Anthony Gonzalez as my flex, and maybe I'd lean towards Anthony Gonzalez there. So in that situation, I might say Ryan Grant is the guy I'd hesitate on there. Thanks for your email, though, Todd, and thanks for everybody who's emailed in. We do have the Patriots, the Boston Patriots injury report, which we'll bring up right here, just in general and from a fantasy standpoint. It's not an injury report. It's more of a practice participation report. Matthew Slater, the only guy on the Patriots who didn't practice. Other guys, Sammy Morris had limited participation. Wes Welker limited, and Tom Brady full participation. So from a fantasy standpoint, Tom Brady full participation, right shoulder. This is the first injury report for this year. So we'll see how often.
Guess I'll start him.
yes. Basically, the question is, if you own Tom Brady, do you start him? Of course you do. This injury report, participation report, did not change anything. Wes Welker's an interesting guy from a fantasy standpoint this week. He didn't play much in these last few preseason games. Limited participation at the Thursday practice. I certainly feel like he will start, and he will play this week. If they had a lot of doubts about Welker's availability this week, I don't think they would have cut Greg Lewis, which they did earlier this week. So I'd feel comfortable with Wes Welker in my lineup. Sammy Morris, no. Not Sammy Morris this week. Maybe as the season goes along, we'll see if Sammy Morris is a guy that you want to rely on or use in fantasy. That would be interesting. Just a couple of the other notes that I had as I was getting ready for the show. We've talked about Matt Hasselbeck. Another guy I really like this week, Tim Hightower. We talked about him. I think him against Arizona, that's going to be big. Frank Gore in that game for San Francisco against Arizona. His last six games against the Cardinals, he has 8 touchdowns. So Frank Gore, I think, is a very interesting guy for this week. He's a must-start anytime. And then Cedric Benson. Cedric Benson, I don't know how much I love Cedric Benson all this year, but they're going up against Denver, and only one team last year allowed more rushing yards than the Denver Broncos. I like Cedric Benson to get a touchdown, at least one this week for Cincinnati. So, 1 week of the Fantasy Lowdown is now in the books. We thank Chris Wessling from RotoWorld.com for joining us. We thank all the emailers. We got a bunch of them. I hope we got to all of them. Webradio at Patriots.com is where you chime in. And again, you can chime in all throughout the week. We'll get to them each and every Thursday from 4 to 5. My thanks to Jason. I hope everyone enjoys week one of the NFL season and week one of the fantasy season. And we will see you next week, next Thursday at 4 o'clock on the Fantasy Lowdown.